Monster Movie Media presents.
Greetings and welcome to episode 69 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast. A podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. In this episode, we are going to be talking about the brand new offerings that Disneyland has introduced to celebrate its 60th birthday. We're going to be talking about some first-hand encounters with the Hatbox Ghost, the new and improved Matterhorn, and the Paint the Night Parade, and so much more. So, here we go. Alrighty, I am here with Her Minxliness herself, Michelle Young from the Disney Dream Girls.
Well, hello there, James, all the way from the UK.
Alright, international. And we are joined by Evil Queen of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hello, loyal subjects.
Hi, Roxy.
That's Mickey. That's Valentine's Day Mickey talking to me over there. You guys should know that we're recording with other guests today. James is being joined by Valentine's Day Mickey Mouse.
I'm Valentine's Day Mickey. Hey.
Michelle is being joined by Pinocchio Duffy.
I'm such a happy boy.
The show is getting creepier by the minute.
Right.
Very creepy, but that's what you tune in for. But we're going to talk about something that the two of you experienced very recently. I don't know if you know it or not, but this year marks the 60th year that Disneyland has been on Earth. Isn't that nuts?
It does.
You'd have thought they'd have publicized it, James.
Right?
You swept it right under the rug.
They should tell somebody.
Maybe we could devise a hashtag.
Yeah, happy 60th birthday, Disneyland, happiest place on Earth. One word.
Did they do a little cake or something? Like a little cupcake, maybe?
One cupcake. It wasn't like a one you could buy.
No, just one. Like one little one. Yeah. Mickey Mouse blew out a candle and that was it. They just went on with their day.
Yeah. Nothing special. Nothing to see here.
Well, the birthday hasn't happened yet because, of course, it's July 17th. So I think that, you know, they might send out a tweet on July 17th. But it's up to us as the fans to make sure that we all celebrate the 60th. Now, they actually have a few things that they're doing and apparently a few more things up their sleeve that they have not, you know, released yet. But the celebration officially kicked off Memorial Day weekend, I believe.
Yep, with the 24-hour event.
With the good old
crazy night.
You guys ever been to one of those 24-hour things?
Yep.
Nope. I live 5,000 miles away, James. I'm not going to go for the day.
You're not going to go for one 24-hour period?
Oh, hang on a minute. You just did that. For the day.
Yeah.
You just did that, actually. So.
No, we went for the one more Disney day for Leap Day a couple of years ago, two years ago.
That was a while ago. That was 2009, I think. Was it?
No.
2011? It certainly was not last year.
Okay, it wasn't last year. I think it was the year before. think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, because last year was Show Your Disney Side 24 Hours. The year before that was the Monsters, Inc. Summer.
Oh, I guess it was three years ago.
Yeah, it was one before that, yeah.
Why are you trying to age me, James?
You're so old. It was just a year ago, James.
What you're talking about.
Back when you were young, 3 years ago.
We went for that. It was really fun. We had an amazing time, but it's probably not something we're going to do again.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too appealing.
I feel like once was enough. But we had a great time. Like, I want to make that really, really clear to everybody. If you have not been to a 24-hour event, you have to be prepared, and you have to go with an open mind. But if you are prepared for it, you know, and you just roll with the punches. Like, we had an amazing time.
Oh, yeah. I would like to go at midnight to 6 a.m. I don't think I want to spend 24 hours there.
We didn't do the whole 24 hours. We were actually driving for the first part of it. But the important thing, as far as we were concerned, was to stay overnight, because you always see Disneyland during the day.
Right, that's why I want to do midnight to 6 a.m., yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Disney at like 4 a.m. we're watching the sunrise, and oh, it was awesome.
But I heard Disneyland goes to capacity way too fast.
The year that we were there, they were not doing the event in California Adventure. So it was only in one park.
Oh, do they do it in both parks now?
Yeah, now it's in both parks.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it does. It fills up really fast. But if you want to go in the middle of the night, you can usually get in because people have left.
All right. Well, that's a story for another time. But you two were not at the 24-hour event. You two popped up in Disneyland about a week later, missing each other by 6 hours. Letting the Creepy Kingdom listeners down.
We're so sorry.
So why didn't you guys not coordinate your travel plans?
Because we're bad people.
I was only allowed to go and play for 36 hours in Anaheim, and then I had a 27-hour journey home the following day on the Saturday, hence I couldn't do the Friday. Mm. So it had to be the Thursday. I didn't want to do earlier in the week because it was Memorial Day and all that good pack-filling stuff. So had to be the Thursday.
Oh, well.
I had a 20-person party. Friday was the day.
It's a little nuts, but that's fine. We'll all get together soon. We'll get talk about that later. But there is a few things that debuted that I have not got to experience, and a lot of people have not, but you two did. One of those things we recently did an entire show on, and that is the Hatbox Ghost has returned to the Haunted Mansion. Our Creepy Kingdom correspondent, your homegirl, Roxy. I sent her on a mission.
Miss Cupcake Terror.
No, it wasn't Cupcake Terror. Cupcake Terror did not go and get the video.
Oh, no. It was Nikki, right?
It was Nikki, yes.
I thought you were talking about the broadcast.
Oh, no. Cupcake Terror recorded with me about Hatbox Ghost. Yes. But then I sent Nikki to get video of it, and she was very serious about it. She went on the Haunted Mansion several times the night before, just in case at the end of the night they busted him out. She was one of the first people in line, and unfortunately she got it the first time, but the video broke or didn't save or something like that. So she went in again.
And waited in that crazy, like, 3-hour line.
She went in and she got it, you know. Which made us the second people to post the video. I really was hoping that it would be the first. But we were beat by, you know, an hour or so. But thanks to Nikki for getting that in. And I saw the video. I could not wait to see that in person. And even from a cell phone video, it looked pretty amazing. Like, actually was, you know, I'm pretty jaded. I've seen it all. I know about all this stuff. Like, yeah, whatever. And I actually stopped for a moment. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And that's just from a cell phone video. So what did you guys think?
I thought it was awesome. I was praying for someone in a disabled vehicle to get on.
Right.
Just as my carriage was getting to the spot. Alas, all the disabled people must have been somewhere else because it didn't. But the ride vehicle did sort of meander past at a good enough speed to get a good view, and I was able to see the metamorphosis from head to box quite clearly, and oh, wow. It is awesome, and it's so cool that something that was once in the park, even for such a brief time, has reappeared now the technology enables it to do so. Love it.
Incredible.
Yeah. It was rad.
That's Roxy's view. It was rad.
It was rad. That's what I mean. No, I got the same. I don't know if I got the same where I got to see it go from body to box, and then I just leaned out of my car far enough to try to watch it like go back. But because I have a Disneyland Social Club, most of my feed for that on Instagram is Disney stuff. So the day that the Hatbox Ghost came out, I saw so many photos and so many videos that by the time the day was over, I didn't even feel like I needed to go and see it. Like, I had seen it so many times, and it looked amazing, and it was, like, super exciting, but I had seen it so many times that by the time we got to Disneyland and we got on the, like, I wasn't even, cool, let's go see the Hatbox Ghost. I've seen it, but, you know, yay, live. No, right, right. I was wrong. I was totally wrong.
Right, right. That's what
it
I figured.
So much better in person than it was online. So much better. Yeah, you can't. Because, like, even in the video, if you can capture, like, what the Hatbox Ghost does, you don't get to see everything around it. I didn't really get that it was a whole new scene.
You know?
Like, I thought they had just, like, stuck it in. And it was just kind of by itself. I didn't even get from the photos and stuff that they had built a whole new scene for it.
Where exactly is it? Where is he?
It's right outside the attic. When you're exiting the attic.
So it's not the attic. I thought he was in the attic.
Well, you know how you go through the attic and you pass the bride, right? Mm-hmm. And then you leave the attic, and on your right hand side, it's like the roof. You know?
Right.
So technically, behind that roof, that would still be part of the attic. Well, they took the roof off, and they put him there.
Mm.
So he is outside the attic scene, but technically, he'd still be in the attic.
Right. I got you. And so is this, the bride's on the left.
Yes.
So is he on the right or the left?
He's on the
right.
Right.
Sorry. Okay. Hands up. I just wanted to quiz you if you knew which one was right, which one was left.
Dang it, James. Why are you going to call us out like that?
If only this was a video podcast, I'd see you putting your hands up. But...
He's on the right.
Oh, interesting. I kind of, somehow in my brain, I envisioned him on the left the way the videos were. I don't know why, but I'll have to check that out again, or I'll just wait and see it in person.
It's not that long, James.
I know, but but usually I try not to spoil things. But I was like, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna have to watch this video. I can't. I gotta see it. And according to what you guys are saying, it's even better in person.
Yep.
I best not just nod my head because listeners can't.
Yeah, like I said, this is not a video podcast, Michelle.
I do that all the time. Someone will be talking and I'm like nodding along. Totally, totally. And then I'm like, yeah. No one can see you do that. Stop that. No, it's really good. Like, I don't even know what else to say about it other than it's really good. It was actually worth the wait.
Mm.
Wow.
Did you have a long wait, Roxy?
We went on Sunday. So they did the Memorial Day event and they had all the blackout dates, right?
Mm.
And then it was the week and then the weekend. And Saturday is also a blackout date for anything below premium.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sunday was the first day since the 60th, like, all really started.
Oh, really? Then,
oh, wow. Oh, yeah, that you could use your deluxe passes, your SoCal passes, your employee passes, your all of that. So Sunday was ridiculously crazy, and it was hot, and it was, like... but I think our wait was, like... I think it was, like, an hour and a half, which in the grand scheme of Hatbox ghosting, I guess, isn't that bad, but... We go to Disneyland enough that I used to have this rule that I do not wait for more than 15 minutes in a line. because there's no reason to. I'll just go back and do it later. But because Disneyland's gotten busier over the years, I had to change my rule to a half an hour.
I was like, 15 minutes? That's quite a diva time there.
Okay, well, that was during the 50th anniversary. Yeah. 10 years ago during the 50th anniversary, it was a 15-minute, and now it's like half hour 45. But no, it was totally worth the wait. It was definitely worth it.
I'm at about 45 myself. I don't know about you, Michelle. More than 45 minutes, I think I start losing it a little bit.
Yeah, I sort of draw the line at about 30, 35 minutes and then, go back. But I think I waited about 40 the first time, and then I hit it up about 10 o'clock at night, and it was a walk-on.
On Thursday.
Yeah, it was a Thursday.
Yeah, but bear in mind, at that time, everybody's waiting for Paint the Night to do the second showing, or they're waiting for Fantasmic. So,
so it's a good time to go.
Yeah, awesome time.
Creepy Kingdom tip there.
There you go. No, it was definitely worth it.
So what were some other reactions you heard from people that you guys were with about, the Hatbox Ghost? Michelle, were you with anyone? You didn't clarify that.
I didn't have an entourage as big as Roxy's. I'm really sorry. I was with a friend of mine. And I'm just really sad my entourage was one person. And
that's okay. You're going
one. Obviously, being a Minxliness, I have to have somebody with me to look after my shopping and things like that.
Right.
And I just went on it once with a friend and really enjoyed it. So we ended up, I think, on the one day we were there, went on it twice, three times. And we both was of the same opinion. My friend's a veteran of Disneyland, sort of growing up in California, so has got the heritage of being to the park a lot longer time period as me, because I've only been coming for like a year and a half. And he was like blown away, absolutely blown out of the water by it. He thought it was outstanding to have it reappear in the park, and the way it was done was just brilliant.
Wonderful.
Everybody was really impressed. Everybody. So I think when we went on Mansion, there were, I want to say 13 of us in the group, which is one of the reasons that the line wasn't so bad, because, when you have that many people, it's cool. But we got off the ride, and my friend Nikki, we're going up the escalator, and my friend Nikki, not Nikki who got the video for you, but another Nikki, one of the twins, she said something that we didn't really hear, because you've all got your back to each other.
Yeah.
And then she was like, it's just not impressive anymore. It's like they need to fix it or something. And this is as we're walking out, and everybody just went,
what are you talking about?
We just stopped. You just heard this, like, what? And our Nikki, was all, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And she turned around and she was like, The bride is just so unimpressive now, especially right before the Hatbox goes. She just loses but it was.
Wow. It's always talking about the Haunted Mansion in general.
It was just this moment of like, wait, what? but she was talking about how the bride is just so unimpressive now, comparatively. And, it's like the opening act for the Hatbox Ghost. It's just sad. She's a sad little thing. She needs an upgrade.
Yeah. Do you know who she reminds me of? Have you ever seen that film with Tom Cruise that's abandoned on the desert island, and he's a UPS man, and he gets a football and he puts a palm print on it and he calls it Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Okay. Tom Cruise. That's Tom. I don't like Toms, by the way.
Oh, okay. No Toms.
Basically, it reminds me of Wilson just because of how rounded the face is, and it's just creepy and weird, and it needs an upgrade now because it's letting the rest of the ride down. So I agree with your friend Nikki.
Yeah, it's totally true.
Oh, poor bride.
Poor Constance.
Yeah.
I like Constance. I'm a huge Constance fan, just throwing that out there. She's my favorite part. The attic is my favorite part of the Haunted Mansion. I love Constance. Anyone that can go through that many husbands, I'm down.
I'm so jealous she got to kill hers, though.
Right?
Wow. I'm outnumbered here, guys.
of.
Yeah, we kind of get locked up in the UK for killing off husbands.
Us too. It's not fair.
I know. It'd only be a little axe. Right? Or a little bit of poison.
So big.
Yeah, a little bit of electrocution.
So wrong. No, I'm a huge Constance fan, but she seriously needs an upgrade. The Hatbox Ghost is just making her look real bad.
Mm. Have you heard about any more enhancements to the Haunted Mansion? Have you guys heard rumors of this?
I've heard they're taking out the pet cemetery.
For really? For what? Mm-hmm. Why? For who? What? When? And where?
There was a rumor going around a few years ago that they were going to take it out to do like something with the handicap line, the disabled line, and like make it go back through there. And then they didn't do that. And then there was a rumor after that that they were going to do a new like fast pass line with it, but then they didn't do that. And now the rumor's going around again that they're going to get rid of the pet cemetery because it's just, it's real estate that they can use for something to make the line more efficient or something like that.
Aww.
I think it's sad.
We need a hashtag for that. Save the pet cemetery.
Save the pet cemetery. I love it. I love like the whole history of it. Every time we take someone to the park, I take them over behind the house and tell them the history of the little pet cemetery and stuff. It's awesome.
Well, save that for an upcoming book. We're going to talk about that now. There's a little teaser. But anyway, so moving on, another creepy enhancement for the 60th, which was quite a surprise. So much attention on the Hatbox Ghost. This really came out of nowhere, which was Harold the Yeti had got a major improvement in the Matterhorn. And just in case there's people listening that are unfamiliar with the Matterhorn, as some East Coasters.
I wish you could see my face.
I know. Listen, not everyone knows about everything that you know about. We're providing entertainment and information.
Fine. For those of you on the East Coast, the Matterhorn is the sad little sister of Everest.
It is the ancestor of Expedition Everest. It is not a little sister. It is.
It's like the redheaded stepchild.
It is their great grandfather. You show some respect.
I can't. I'm sorry. I love Everest.
It's not the other way. I know, but it's not the other way around.
All right, my bad. The ancestor of Everest.
It is.
For those of you on the East Coast.
So within the ancestor of Everest, there was a. You know, I don't know. What do you think? Maybe 8 feet tops Yeti? Definitely does not compare to the Yeti in Expedition Everest. In the animatronics, he shows up a few times. You know, it seems like they had never been upgraded ever. I mean, it might have been. I don't know the history
deeply,
but the last time I went on it was the last time I was there in November, and it looked like, you know, like it's exactly the same as it had always been. And out of nowhere, they're like, yeah, we're just going to, you know, do some sweet audio animatronics there.
We're going to pop
Harold.
A new one in real quick.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, that's interesting. So, Michelle, you got to see Harold. So had you been on the Matterhorn before?
Ridden the Matterhorn, I think, twice before and hated it twice before because I came off and needed medical assistance virtually. It really messed with my spine. Oh. Really. I just, you know, first time I went on it because you have to do everything once. You got to try it.
You know,
it's the law. And I tried it and I thought, never doing that again. And then I took my son last year and he said, but mommy, I've got to do everything. And his little baby eyes, he's like, God, I'm going to be told I'm a bad mother now. So I took him on and went on. And again, my back was, oh, I was never doing it again. And then with the revamp, I thought, oh, go on then. I've got to do all the mountain ranges in Disneyland. So the queue was like 6.5 days long at this point.
Wow.
And everyone was queuing around for the parade and it was mental. So I thought, right, I'm bite the bullet, single rider line. The wait was 10 minutes. Unbelievable. And they pointed me to row number one and I got front of the carriage and we zoomed off and it was a completely different ride. It was smooth.
Smooth. It
felt,
wow.
Yeah, smooth.
Wow.
And it felt fast. It felt invigorating. I absolutely went, ah! Because it was really awesome, and you really get the sound resonating around in your ears as Harold is sort of like growling at you and screaming. Oh, it's awesome!
Oh, the upgrade of the sound in there.
The audio to me did sound absolutely awesome. It really, really did, because it really made it feel like it was sort of coming at me in binaural effect.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, really impressed.
I'm really excited about the way that they've been upgrading stuff recently. You know, they, because, yeah, they put this new Yeti in, and that was cool. They didn't make a big deal out of it. You know, they put it in, but they upgraded the audio stuff because it's easy. It's an easy upgrade. You don't have to do a lot for it. And I've heard the same thing. I've heard that it just, the ride is so much cooler now.
Mm.
Because I was describing the Matterhorn to someone very recently, and I was saying, it is just very rough. I would never even think to describe it as smooth.
No. Like, that's why I don't ride it, because it hurts me. I'm fragile.
I was a little sore when I got off the last time, and I remember thinking it didn't really bother me when I was a kid. Maybe you just used to have higher pain tolerance. I don't know, but. After that ride, I was like, all right, well, I'm good on that for the rest of my life. But now I'm like, all right. And I'm really excited to hear that it's smooth. You're the first person that I've heard that from, Michelle. So
maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe that's the top tip. Sit in the front, because I do tend to ask to go in the front row for things such as Indiana Jones and Space Mountain for the same thing, because I prefer it.
That's the optimal view, front row.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I plan on going on it. So in August, I guess, when I go back.
Group ride.
Oh, my group ride. Got to break the Matterhorn. Come on now. We had plans to go on it. We did the fireworks and then Paint the Night. And then it was our plan when Paint the Night was over to go straight over there and get in line. And it would be the last thing that we did for the night. But when Paint the Night ended, I had a killer migraine. And through the whole parade, I'm like, tough it out. Tough it out. You know, who cares? You can do it. It's Disneyland. Be happy. And I was. Like, I was seriously, like pushing through it. But the thought of going on the Matterhorn with a migraine, the ride that's so bumpy it hurts you anyways, I was like, I tap, you guys. I'm out.
Yeah, no, so. I understand. You didn't know.
Michelle, I didn't know.
Michelle didn't call you and say, hey, it's smooth, you can ride.
That's what happens when we miss each other by 6 hours.
Yeah. I should have tweeted, smooth ride.
Smooth ride. We would have known. I would have known. Honestly, I would have known what you were talking about. you've alluded to it. Let's jump to it there. They have a brand new parade there. It's called Paint the Night.
Yes.
And awesome. The pictures look incredible, and it looks pretty awesome.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. It's
speechless. All right. Well, okay. Let's take a step back here. I'm drawing a blank, so forgive me. What was the parade that they took away from Magic Kingdom?
Spectrum Magic went, and Spectrum then they've Magic, got Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yeah, it's okay. So I love Spectrum Magic, and for the way it all lights up, and it's so cool. And I mean, Main Street Electrical Parade is like, I look at it and I'm like, it's just pure nostalgia. I mean, I love...
It's just classic.
I love Broco Down. You know, it's a great song, but it's not. It doesn't really wow me at this point in my life. I'm just like, all right, I remember that. Mm-hmm. There it is. I don't stop and watch it. I see Pete, you know, the Pete's Dragon, whatever. I'm like, there he is, and I move on. So, and I was, you know, so I'm kind of bummed that took away Spectrum Magic, because I thought that was a great show or parade. So this is kind of like the next level, I hear, huh?
Yeah. The progression is awesome. If you were to watch the three parades, if you were to watch, like, I mean, I know you can't watch them back to back, but you could watch like videos, and if you could watch them back to back, the progression of it is just ridiculous amazing. And Paint the Night, we got it from Tokyo Disney. They had it over there first. Yeah, so we got a version of it over here, but they had it first.
Look at you dropping some knowledge on the show there.
It's gorgeous, though. Like, you can just, you can tell that a huge monster chunk of their budget went into this parade.
Oh, for the 60th celebration?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So, I don't know how to review a parade. I've never done it before the show, but I mean.
Okay, well, it opens.
Yeah, scene by scene.
Picture this. It opens. So, Tinkerbell at the front of the float. Flying. She's flying. Okay. She got a thing in her back and it's like, and she's like, she's flying and she's all lit up and she's got these weird antennas on her head because there's their little forehead lights so that they light her face, which I get it. Like, they have to light the actors' faces, but they look like antenna, which is interesting. But she's flying and it's fabulous. I must
admit, and without going too rude here, I actually thought Tinkerbell was sitting on something, the pearl effect thing, but maybe that's me, who has got a very evil, dirty mind.
No, she's got, like, she's in front of this like, it's not a spiral, it's like a, I don't even know, like a cornucopia thing. And it's all lit up. And in the middle of it, it's got this pole coming out that's attached to her, and it moves up and down, and she flies all over the place. And then behind it is, like, this big circle, and it's got all these different, like, projections on it, like diamonds falling and stuff, and Peter is sitting on top of it, and he's waving, and it's awesome.
All right, well, that sounds really magical. But what I think our listeners want to know is, what kind of villain presence is in this parade?
Oh, that's cute. That's cute that you think there's a villain
presence. Aww. There's no villain presence. All I've seen is pictures of a big Mack truck with lights on the side of it.
The genie is awesome.
The genie looked really cool.
The genie is awesome.
And Lemire are both, like, right behind that Tinkerbell, Peter Pan float.
And Lemire is awesome.
There is a Monsters, Inc. one. Mm. And it's got the float has got all the doors on it, and so they open and close projections, and so and they show all different scenes and different monsters and stuff behind it. So really, that might be, like, the creepiest part of it is that it's Monsters University, but
right. I kind of feel, this is my opinion on Monsters Inc. in general, that, I mean, I love the franchise, love the films, but those monsters are not scary or creepy at all.
No, they're really not. I'm trying to find something creepy in this.
I appreciate you.
I really am. Oh, you know what? The cars part of it. So, I mean, we got to get to Mac because Mac is ridiculously awesome. But these dudes that
I'm just pointing to the same picture.
These dudes that come out before they're. Before Lightning McQueen? No, they're after Lightning McQueen. They like light up and they're like supposed to be, I don't know, car parts or car guys or something. But I'm gonna be honest, they're a little off-putting. Like, they could.
They've got these, like, sort of semicircular lit up halo weird things going shoulder to shoulder and fluorescent light up type body parts, like a light up skeleton, and they are just freaky. But I must admit, some of the dancers in between have got the most elaborate outfits. And I don't know if you found the same, Roxy, but I found photographing some of the dancers incredibly difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we found it so hard. Like,
get to that.
You'll get to that. What happened? No, let's get to it right now. What are you talking about?
No. I have to talk about Mac real quick because Mac is, like, amazing. I want to live inside Mac. Like, I could stay there I could die happy inside Mac. He is the most amazing. Like, he hearkens to my inner raver. It's just so pretty. So pretty. No. So Michelle's right. The dancers, I mean, the floats are cool, but the dancers have some of the just most amazing costumes and their the way that they light up and all of this stuff. And so I'm taking pictures. And I actually got distracted by how cool they looked and stopped taking pictures because I was just
mesmerized.
Ridiculously distracted. But it wasn't the princess ones. The princess ones are really cool. They've got these giant, like, Marie Antoinette style dresses that light up. And
what about the jellyfish ones?
The jellyfish ones are heck of cool.
Yeah, they're really cool.
They have like the umbrella thing, and it's got like rope lights that hang down, and yeah, they go and they twist it, and they all go up and fly out. And
I don't know if it's just me, but the Little Mermaid float has got a massive King Triton behind her, and it just reminds me, and this is of a really creepy Christmas ornament, you know, the really tacky ones that your mum might have. Is it me? But you know the type I mean?
Yes, yeah, they're like really brightly painted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, and you're totally right. That is what the float reminds me of.
Yeah. Slinky Dog's cool. Slinky Dog is awesome. There's nothing creepy, James, but he is cool. Oh,
that's all right.
The coral dancers... the coral dancers before Ariel are really cool too.
Wow.
Look really neat.
Oh,
it's okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you were saying about the sort of the lady dancers, they remind me very much out of Doctor Who, of one of the characters that they had in one of the Doctor Who stories about the... Oh, gosh, they had masks on. I don't know. Can you see? I can't remember the character. I need my son because he knows. But they're evil and they kill people. And, yeah, it was awesome. But they're in 17th century.
Cupcake Terror would know. She's our...
she's our Doctor Who.
She's our Whovian.
So there's these two other... dancers that came out after that, and this is where I kind of like started to lose my costume loving mind. One of them is with the little princess floats. It was after the Marie Antoinette style dancers, and they're like, I don't even know if they're like butterflies or swans or I don't know, but they were stunning. And then right after that is the Frozen ones, and they're like snowflakes and whatnot. I literally almost leapt at this dancer in an attempt to steal her shoes.
Wow.
Keegan, actually, I guess I had leaned so far, like so close to her. Keegan actually reached over and like pulled me back before I got kicked out of the park for touching a dancer. I was so like in awe of these because we were right on the curb. We were right there. I was sitting right on the curb. We were right in the front row. So not only did we have a great view of the parade, but I had a great view of everybody's shoes. But these costumes up close were just, I know this is a Creepy Kingdom show and there's nothing creepy about them, but they are amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me they like spared no expense on this show.
They certainly didn't. They certainly spared no expense on that Frozen float.
Whoa. And it's then, like, obviously, you have Mickey coming out at the end.
It was a nice little nod to the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yeah, because they have the little, you know, the caterpillar with the glasses that came out with the Main Street Electrical Parade in that sort of, like, spherical dome thing.
Yeah.
There was, like, Minnie and, Donald and Goofy that came out before Mickey. And I thought that was really cute how that was done. And then Mickey comes out on this almighty massive one, and it's really cool.
Oh, yeah, you could look at that thing for hours. Mm. Oh, it was cool.
Now, is this the same parade or is this something separate where they are projecting onto Main Street buildings at the same time?
Well, it's the next bit, the fireworks.
Yeah, the fireworks is where they
are
doing all the projections.
So it's not part of the parade, it's part of the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Show.
And Belle looks like a birthday cake. I'm a huge princess fan, but the princesses, in my opinion, were like the biggest letdown of the parade. Because like it comes out and it's Belle, and she's ginormous, and she's got this huge light-up skirt, and it's cool, but she reminds me of one of those cakes where, like, they stick the Barbie in the top, and then the skirt is the cake. Like, that's totally what she reminds me of. And then they've got, like, Cinderella, Rapunzel, and I don't even remember who else on, like, these little dinky floats behind her. And it's, like, sad. Mm. So, you have all these lights, and you put that pumpkin carriage back in there.
Oh. So, guys, how was the Black Cauldron float? How did that one look?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. Oh, man. Right, the cauldron lit up, and, like, they had – it looks like fog coming out of it, but it's right all on. Done in lights. It's like bed lights.
Oh, it's like light fog, right?
Yeah. It's so neat. All the little minions, like, it's totally dark. And, like, you can't see them, and they, boom, light up right in your face. It's just really cool. Really cool.
That sounded like a real thing. Just kidding. We're joking, listeners, in case. Because Roxy had a lot of descriptive details of this fictional float that I wanted to see.
You can name any float, and I will describe it for you. Not a problem.
I was just trying to get it obscure. what was that? The Reluctant Dragon. How was the Reluctant Dragon float?
You know, it honestly reminded me a lot of the Peach Dragon.
Oh, really? Right on.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like he wanted to be there. Yeah. Like, he was, I don't know.
He was reluctant. He was reluctant. I think that's really to be in the All right, let's move on from this fictional float that I want to see.
Can I just ask you, Roxy? You said you got curbside. How long did you have to wait to get curbside?
We watched the 9:30 fireworks show. And we watched it from Town Square so that we could see all of Main Street. And then when the fireworks show was done, we all, like, walked over to the gallery. And we just hung out at the gallery for a few minutes until all the people from the fireworks had gone out. And then we went and sat down on the curb.
Oh, nice move.
Yeah. So we just, like, we literally stood there until it was safe to not be trampled. And then we sat down on the curb. And we had, like, 20 people with us, so it was a huge group, but yeah, we just kind of stood there, like, poised, waiting for this mob of people to not run us over, and then we, like, ran over and sat down on the curb, and so we were there for about, like, an hour, but it was a nice rest, you know, end of the night, nice rest. We ate, we drank Cherry Coke, like, it was awesome.
Wow.
And then, because we were at the end of Main Street, we were the first ones to see the parade because, you know, that's where it comes out of.
Yeah.
At the end of the night. So we were the first ones to see the parade, which meant that when the parade ended, it was really easy for our party, minus me, to go through the little corridor and head straight to Matterhorn while everyone else is still watching the parade. Mm. I'm a good Disney planner. Like,
awesome. I got this on Disney lock.
Yeah. Roxy's itineraries are legendary.
Yeah, two parks in one day, and we managed to see everything they had new, including the Diamond Mad Tea Party. So,
all right, let's hop over there. What's new at California Adventure?
Well, it's funny you asked that, James.
Thank you.
Diamond Mad Tea Party.
Oh.
Frozen Fun is gone, and they brought the tea party back, and now it's the Diamond Mad Tea Party. Which means that there are new projections and they are diamonds.
And that's the difference?
Yeah.
Diamond projections, right on.
They took the old White Rabbit DJ cup, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You don't know. Okay, yeah. Sure. So the White Rabbit DJ used to DJ from a cup, like from a teacup,
yeah,
up on the stage. And they took that and they gave the White Rabbit DJ a new thing. And they put that down on the ground with, like, a big teapot and whatnot. So now it's a little photo area. So that's really cool. They put the Tweedles on the smaller stage, and they didn't rebuild the deck of cards stage, which is interesting. Oh. Shoves people over into that corner where that little small stage is. The deck of cards dancers got new outfits, and they are so much better. The Alice band got a new set. Let's see. They took out the deck of cards stage for the Frozen Fun, and they, like, put this little dance floor projection thing going on there. And so they still have that, but they have, like, stuff for kids to play with. So they have giant playing cards, and they have all these projections and stuff. And every once in a while, a snowflake projection would come by. and you could see people like trying to stomp on them to get rid of the last of the frozen stuff. It was pretty funny. But there was this little girl. We saw this little girl, and like I said, they have these giant cards, and so people like are trying to build like card houses out of them. Mm-hmm. She built a card house around herself. It was really cute.
Wow.
So she, it was super cute. Very talented. I'm not even sure how she did it, because every time I looked back, she had another one. And I'm like, where is she getting these from? She's in the middle of this card house. Like, it was really neat.
She had a secret card enabler.
You know?
some skills there.
It was cool, though. Oh, the glow cubes are diamond-shaped now, and they light up. They have a little Mickey Mouse head in them.
Aww.
That was cool.
Yeah, it's interesting that they, the Frozen thing, that wasn't there very long.
No, it was just a placeholder. It was just a holiday, you know, placeholder so that they could reintroduce the tea party with a flair.
So it's the Snowfest gun then?
Yeah. Well,
I like that.
No, inside it's not. Olaf's Snowfest thing is still there. It's still inside.
Cool.
Yeah. Just all the stuff outside is back to being Mad Tea. There's a couple of other new things, though, that they did that they didn't really announce and that we were, like, surprised by, which was cool.
Hmm.
They have, like, these photo ops all over the park. I know you guys have seen them. You've seen people do them.
Yeah, I've seen, like, the grizzly.
Grizzly one where you're in the mouth, and then the Matterhorn one where you're, like, climbing the Matterhorn. And there's another one for California Screamin' where it looks like you're on the roller coaster upside down. I want to say there's another one that now I can't remember. And like they have people all over the park now, like set up where the photo pass people are, and they have like cardboard cutouts that you can like hold up and put a new frame around you. And so like that's cool. It's just this little thing that adds that extra. And like a couple of the rides got new projections, and we didn't hear anything about it. Snow White Scary Adventures got new projections and looks amazing. And it's not like a huge overhaul like Alice got, but it's just a little bit. But
Where are the projections? Right?
In the throne room. There's one in the throne room, and like the rain. I think it was the rain. Got a new like projection upgrade. It was just, see, I only went on it once. I wanted to go on it again, but we didn't get to. So I will report back to you the next time I go on it. But we didn't know. And so we went on it, we got off, and we all looked at each other and went, wait a second. Did everybody else just see what I saw? And it was like Winnie the Pooh got a few projection upgrades too. Like that scene, the rain, that scene got different projections. And it was cool. It was just kind of like they went over the dark rides and were like, how can we just make this a little bit better? You know, no large overhaul, just a little bit cooler.
Ah, interesting. So, there's still more things to come that's been alluded to.
Tell us about them, James.
Well, I don't know what they are. it's kind of interesting little scenario here. I mean, obviously, we have the actual date of July 17th. Wonder what's going to come on that day. And then we also have the D23 Expo, where you're going to imagine they're going to probably drop some information about something. So, because the 60th celebration it started on Memorial Day, and I assume that's going to go for a full year.
To the 18 months.
18 months, so even longer than a year, yeah. So.
Well, Disneyland Paris tends to celebrate for a year and a half.
The 50th stuff seemed like it was up forever. Maybe I just went a whole lot that year. But I have a lot of trip photos with 50th stuff in them and what they did to the castle and all of that. So I hope they keep it up for quite a while.
Well, I mean, they keep the decorations up, but what I'm alluding to is I feel like they're going to be continuously unrolling out some new stuff during this time period. But I feel like, we haven't had any real major news come up. I mean, we're all excited about the Hatbox Ghost, but we haven't got any any new attraction news.
Peter Pan is getting its amazing overhaul.
The whole ride is getting an overhaul, not just the queue?
Yeah. Well, no, the queue is getting... The queue in Disney World in Magic Kingdom got a really killer overhaul. But ours isn't getting that same one because our queue is mostly outside.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, it has to stay outside. But the ride is getting the same thing as Alice in Wonderland got, where they're keeping with the original ride.
Really?
But they're doing a whole killer, you know, projection overlay and upgrading everything and all of that. So that's why Peter Pan didn't open in time for the 60th, is because it's still being given that huge refurb.
And in case any listeners are unaware, the Alice in Wonderland ride actually started getting, like, cartoon projections within the ride.
Which, it's amazing.
Which was pretty sweet.
I always liked Alice in Wonderland. It's now one of my favorite dark rides. It might be my favorite dark ride now after the upgrade. I can't wait for Peter Pan.
I mean, you're saying,
like,
that,
I feel
you're speaking over Snow White's Scary Adventures.
I know, right? Snow White's Scary Adventures was my favorite dark ride forever and ever and ever. And then when they did the Alice refurb, it looks so amazing. And I love what Disney is doing, because they didn't tear it out. They didn't tear it down. They didn't tear it out. They didn't gut it. You know, they left the ride that everyone loves. And so you've got all of that nostalgia for when you were little and stuff like that. It's still that classic dark ride, but they just put this beautiful, like, overlay on it. So they took everything that you already liked and made it so much better. And that's what they're doing with Peter Pan. Hopefully that's what they'll do with, like, Snow White. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really cool. It's really cool that they left it that original ride and gave it that modern, like,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it's a mix of old and new. Yeah, it's awesome. And,
yep. Go Disney.
Go.
Two thumbs way up.
I gather the Peter Pan is going to be very similar to what they're planning in Disneyland Paris as well, because they're doing about 10 rides being overhauled in DLP, and they are going to do a six-month program in Peter Pan's flight, but it's just mainly lighting. They've not mentioned the interactive queue there either.
I'm upset we're not getting the interactive queue. That makes me sad. But whatever, it's just a better reason to go to Disney World.
Yeah, you don't want the exact things at both parks.
Yeah. It's nice to be different.
They get all the interactive queues, though.
But it's for the tourists.
Yeah, it's for, yeah. Locals.
Like me.
Locals wait, have better patience? No, we've determined that locals don't have patience because they only wait for 15 minutes.
Although I will admit that even Haunted Mansion in the Magic Kingdom, even though the interactive queue line is longer, I always take that one.
Yeah, I know. I like it.
I think it's fun to go and play with all the stuff. But then, ooh, you need to wash your hands afterwards. Oh, my word.
Yeah. Antibacterial gel.
So many germs.
I just sometimes I urge to go with some antibacterial spray and just clean the whole of the queue area just to make it sanitized for me.
Who's going to walk through with Clorox wipes? every time I go in Snow White, like, I have to touch the apple and make the queen laugh. It's just, I absolutely have, and I make a big flourish of it. James has seen it. But every time, right before my hand hits that apple, I think, ew, 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 ew. Gross.
Oh, that's creepy.
Right? So, the real creepy of Disney.
Germs. So what do you guys think? Do you guys have any guesses or anything of what do you think some announcements are going to be made during the 60th or what's coming? Any?
I don't know.
Any fans?
Well, they've got, I don't know. They've got the new Luigi's ride in California Adventure. That's going to come out. Whatever they're doing in Interventions is going to be their next big announcement. That's my prediction.
Interventions.
Yeah, because they closed Interventions and they gave like a week's notice that they were going to close it. They barely said anything about it at all. They closed it with no flourish, like no, right. Nothing. They haven't announced what's going to happen to it. There have been no announcements about what's going in or what's going on. And they moved Thor and Captain America outside across from it at like the little store that used to sell all the Submarine and Nemo stuff and whatnot. And like it had some Star Wars stuff in it. Now it's like a Marvel store and they have the two heroes out there doing photos. So I think that'll be the next big announcement is whatever is going on inside Interventions.
See, I've heard rumblings and I'm really sad that it might be true, you know, that Toontown's going away.
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's sad to me, not because I love Toontown, but because I don't want Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin to go away. And even last time we were on it and I was writing it, and I might mention it then, but this is before I even heard anything about it. I just had a feeling. This attraction's days are numbered. I feel it. It was a gut instinct, especially just how the sequels of Roger Rabbit keep getting canceled, and it's becoming so far out of children's knowledge of whatever Roger Rabbit is.
The kids don't know what the ride is about. We've got a whole generation that have no idea who Roger Rabbit is or what the ride's about or anything.
In
Disney, that's dangerous.
Well, we still have Mr. Toad, and some people, most kids don't know who that is either. But I just feel like, I don't know, I've heard of rumors they're going to take out Toontown and put some kind of Star Wars land there.
Yep. Well, the first rumor was that Tomorrowland was going to get a big Star Wars
thing. Yeah, I heard that one.
Were going to pull out Autopia, and the whole thing was going to get a Star Wars thing. And then that rumor died, and now the current one is that they'll take out Toontown and make a little Star Wars land out of it. So the other rumor going around is that over behind Hollywoodland, behind Tower of Terror, they're going to do a little Marvel thing over there.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, there's been some people from DWI over there walking around and having meetings and whatnot. So that's the rumor.
All right, well, we just stirred the rumor mill a little bit there. They're just rumors, guys. We don't know. Who knows?
If they turn out to be not just rumors, you heard them here first. I know everything.
You heard it from
Ryan. If it turns out that it's not true, I heard it from somebody else.
Yeah. You heard it from someone else. Well, we'll see what other festivities the 60th brings. Hopefully some more creepy goodness, huh?
Yay.
Yeah, we'll see.
Would be awesome.
We could use some creepiness. Why don't they close Toontown and turn it into Villains Land?
Well, now we're just getting into complete fantasies there.
Oh, my word.
But it would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm not even going to entertain that idea because I'll just be so sad.
So. Poor James will just fall into this deep, dark depression. We still have no Villains Land.
Yeah, no, the episode where I was talking with Jim Hill, when I asked him about the proposed Villains Park, and he explained that it wasn't real, but that there was an attraction that was Splash Mountain level based on the villains. After hearing that was proposed and canceled, I'm too sad. I can't. But on to some happier news. I want to make a kind of official announcement here. We, a few episodes back, talked about the upcoming Dark Side of Disney documentary.
Yay!
Roxy and I are in it. I don't know if we announced the premiere date on the show or what actually happened on the show, but the world premiere, or the West Coast premiere, or whatever, is actually going to be taking place in Santa Ana, California, right next to Anaheim. On August 16th at 4:30, that is the last day of the D23 Expo. So everyone that's going to be in town for D23, you're going to want to come on down for that.
It's going to be amazing.
And the main announcement we have here, which is that there's going to be a Q&A afterwards hosted by myself and Miss Roxy Tart.
Yay!
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
So if you want to hear us ask ourselves questions, no, we're going to ask other people. We're not going to ask ourselves.
Yeah. And you can ask questions. Yeah. Come and ask questions. See the movie and ask questions. It's going to be at a theater. It's going to be a big thing. There's going to be vendors. People from the documentary are going to be there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
This is an event to be at. And then afterwards, there's a bar next door to the place. I believe it's the Frida Cinema. We'll have all the information in the show notes, of course. As a bar next door, we're going to take the party after that, It's a great way to close out D23, and even if you're not going to D23, you should come to this, because this
you
is,
should.
This, you know, and then after the bar, who knows where this party's going to go?
Back to Disneyland.
I've got my question all lined up for you two.
Really?
101 uses for a Dole Whip pot.
Wow.
So get thinking.
Okay. That's a tough question.
That's not, well, you're making everybody laugh around there.
That's my laugh track in the background.
Right on.
I use it to make me feel better.
So, Michelle.
James.
Thanks once again for coming on the show. I will say every time that you come on, you know, there's a huge spike in listenership. You're very popular, Michelle. Are you aware of this?
Aww.
Popular.
Thank you, James.
You're going to be popular.
Do you know what? I have to tell you this little story because it was just so awesome. I knew one of my listeners was going to be in Disneyland for the day on the day I was there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't make any plans to meet up with her. So I'm in the queue for Pirates and this girl turns around in front of me and says, "Are you Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls?"
Ooh.
Yeah. She's, "Oh my God, I'm Emily. I really, really love your show." It's like, "Oh my God, this has never happened to me before."
That's awesome.
She recognized your voice, huh?
Yeah. My dulcet tones. It's like, "Oh my God, 5,000 miles away from where I live, and someone who listens to my little podcast has sort of got in front of me in Pirates of the Caribbean, and we're talking. It's just awesome."
That's one of my favorite things to have happened. I love so much when people come up to me and are like, "Oh my God, are you Roxy Tart? I listen to your podcast, or I've seen your photos," or like, it just makes you feel so good.
Yeah, it was such a cute thing. It was really awesome. First time.
That's awesome.
Yay.
I know how Audrey Hepburn must have felt.
Finally.
It's only taken me 4 years to get to this.
Well, Michelle,
yes,
some others, for some reason, someone listens to this show doesn't know about you. Why don't you tell people where they can find you and your other shows?
Oh, my heavens. I'm on two other podcasts. One of them is my own, which is the Disney Dream Girls, and we are now weekly. Our latest show is a new show talking about all sort of news from three different Disney parks, and you can find us everywhere that has a podcast app or whatever under Disney Dream Girls, and our Twitter is @DisDreamGirls. I'm also one of the panel members on the Avengers, and it's basically the
remit.
That's
the E-Avengers.
The E-Avengers, yeah.
You've got to specify that. It sounds like you said Avengers.
It's my English accent, she says, holding her tube of hand cream very carefully. And basically, there's four podcasts on it, one person from each podcast, and we throw a couple of subjects in the hat, and we basically banter about it for about 30 to 45 minutes, and it's good fun, and that's released every Monday. So, yeah, find me on there, too. Yay.
Alrighty. Roxy, where can we find you? No, I already know where you can find you.
Well, there are other people that might not know where you can find me.
I know where to find you.
You want to find me. If you're not James and you want to find me, you can find me on my website, welcometoroxysworld.com. That has links to all of my social networks. But on Facebook, it's facebook.com/welcometoroxysworld. Twitter and Instagram, Roxy_Tart. I have a Tumblr. I have podcasts. I have Roxy's World podcast. I'm on Creepy Kingdom. James and I have another podcast called Curvy Cutie Chat. You can find all of these things at welcometoroxysworld.com and monstermoviemedia.com.
Like a pro.
Find me.
All right.
Call me. Text me.
All right. Well.
Say hi in the park. I love that.
Yeah, so we'll be there. In August.
We will. D23, we will see you there.
And the good thing is, guys, I finally get to meet you guys because I'll be there in August at the same time.
Woo! Right. Isn't that?
That's what I'm saying.
Disney Kingdom.
I get 16 days of Disneyland.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Wow. 16 yeah. days?
Well, I'm sort of like doing like Friends of the Magic, which is a big podcast me. I'm hoping to get over to Scare LA. D23, Dark Side of Disney malarkey. So,
we're just going to be doing it all up. So, August, Anaheim, be there. Well, before we get out of here, I do need to make an important announcement. Is that this July, Creepy Kingdom is going on summer vacation. We will be taking the month of July off from producing shows. So we will have a brand new show released on June 26th. And then we will return on July 31st. We deeply apologize for not being here for you during July, but we have a ton of back catalog, which you may or may not have heard yet. So you can always check out our older episodes while you wait for us to come back. And when we come back, we have a lot of great things planned for August, including coverage of the Scare LA Horror Convention, which had a very huge haunted mansion presence last year, including an incredible panel. So we'll see what Disney offerings they have. Then, of course, the D23 Expo and lots of other fun stuff. So we will definitely be back July 31st. Just want to give everyone a heads up. But we will be back next week as well, if you listen to this in real time. If you listen to this way in the future, then this doesn't matter to you. But if you would like to email us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by emailing creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check out any of our other podcasts, Curvy Cutie Chat, Demon James of Podcast Podcast, which is ending this July, actually, after 8 years. Can you believe it? And Roxy's World, you can find all of our other shows at Monster Movie Media. And for fan art pics, cosplay pictures of the creepy Disney assortment, show notes and links to all of our social media, Pinterest, Tumblr, Google+, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, just go to creepykingdom.com. Until next time, my friends.
I have a girl now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.